Yeah, this is Jeffrey Fraser for Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we back at it again. Today, we're going to take a, you know, I usually have a serious podcast where we talk about black issues in the community. But today, we're going to kick our feet back, and I'm going to have my boy from high school, a fellow comedian that I know for 15 years, and we're going to call. He's going to call in. We're going to talk about the New York Giants. Eli Manning just retired, and how I think that the New York Giants franchise is completely full of shit. And we're also going to talk about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, and why that situation, what's going on with their, how they leaving the family is very interesting. We're going to talk about it today. Real quickly, we're going to talk about a couple of things. Of course, my live stream is on my YouTube channel, which is Pain, P-I-A-N, 308 TV. That's Pain 308 TV. So if you want to see my live stream and you want to follow me, the people who's listening to my podcast, you can do so. I'm available every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, you can follow me on my Instagram. My Instagram is BlackKage840. If you go on my Instagram, which is BlackKage840, and you go to my bios, it will see my Twitter, you will see my Facebook page, and you will see my Twitch account. I also am a pretty good gamer as a hobby. I'm getting very skilled in Tekken 7, and there may be a possibility I might start going to the big tournaments. But we'll see about that. So today, not only are we going to cover Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, Eli Manning and the New York Giants, and why I think the New York Giants and the NFL is full of crap. We're also going to talk about the struggles of being a black millennial. We're going to have a little part two of what I was talking about last week. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to have my boy Aaron L. Smith call on the phone. And when we do that, we're basically going to talk to each other. I'm going to talk to him about this podcast that he has and a whole bunch of other stuff. So we'll be right back shortly.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Jeffrey Frazier. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we black at it again. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read an article from Eli Manning's retirement. And after I read the article, I'm going to have my boy Aaron Smith call in. If he hasn't called in, he's on his way to call in already. All right, give me 1 second. He called? Okay. All right, here's my boy Aaron Smith. Hello? Hey, Aaron, what's going on, buddy? Hey, how's everything? How's everything going?
Same shit, different toilet. You know how I do.
Yeah, today I wanted to talk to you about two things, and it goes directly into my podcast, even though we're going to shoot the shit and talk shit about it. I want to talk about the Eli Manning retirement and why I think the New York Giants franchise is full of shit and completely overrated. And I also want to talk about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and their exit from the United Kingdom.
All right, cool. I figured Meghan missed that Hollywood dick and she wanted to come back. You know,
stupid.
She wasn't down for that Hollywood, that Buckingham Palace and, you know, the queen looking like sheep shit in shallow ass water and
great,
all that.
Paul Mooney,
some Book of Bears. It kind of reminds me of Get Out too, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Jordan Peele should get on that.
Yeah. You think Jordan Peele should get with Meghan Markle, man?
I mean, hey, she is an actress. I mean, you know, and he is a director. So, I mean, go for two or two together. I'm not sure who big play Harry, though. Maybe he could play himself. I don't know. Something like that. But I don't know what they're going to do. My whole thing about that is like, you know, she knew what she was getting into when she got it, man. And she was at that. You know, they're ass backwards in their 17th century shit. And, you know, they're figureheads and all that. I get that. But, like, you know, come on. Like, this is what you signed up for. And all of a sudden you want to quit? I'm like, all right, whatever.
Here's the thing, though. I think they're more than figureheads because, yeah, like, you know you're in a position of power where, yeah, you allow the public of the United Kingdom to have a parliament, but yet they still have to pay, they still have to fund your lifestyle. A portion of the United Kingdom's taxes goes to them. So not only are they receiving multi-billion dollars of tax dollars from the UK, they're also the biggest landowners in the whole world. And we all know how they got that land.
Oh, yeah. They stole it from Africa. They stole all those
things. Oh, yeah. Pillage and rape.
But yeah, no one wants to hear that, you know. It's so proper and British and status and all that stuff. I don't really give a crap about that. But, yeah, that's just that whole thing. It's like, you know, she knew what was the deal when she met up him. If that was the case, you know, she could have got herself some Royal Johnson and just kept it moving. But what can I tell you?
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Like, yeah, Prince Harry is not basically the first royal that actually left his position. There was actually a person.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not the first one. So this is very interesting. So it turns out that there was a second one that left. He was actually on the way to be the King of England, and he just said, fuck it, I don't want to do this. I believe his
not
name
for
is,
everybody.
Yeah, I believe his name was Edward the Eighth. So apparently, Edward the Eighth, and this is how the similarity between Meghan Markle, right? So apparently, Edward the Eighth fell in love with an American woman, and he said, "You know what? If you're not going to accept my woman, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be the king." I think it's the
sounds
same. Yeah, sounds all too familiar. I believe it's the same thing that's happening. Same thing. Yeah, I believe Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I think you know how racist that the UK was to that poor woman.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, I consider the UK America light. I mean, you know, it's they're kind of like the little brother, you know. They do all the overachiever. They do everything, and they do it what America doesn't have to do because they're the big bad big brother and all that stuff. And but yeah, they racist too. Racist.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, and adding on to that, is I really don't understand how, like, one of the damn newscasters actually called Meghan Markle's little baby a damn monkey. Remember that?
I'm not surprised. I mean, like I said, you know, the problem is that, you know, it's always been this way, but since, you know, we got you-know-who in the White House, you know, everybody's all live and HD with it, so, you know, it's now the norm to be that way. I mean, people were always like this, but now since, you know, since he says it's okay, you know, then everybody thinks it's all right. But that's not necessarily the case because he's got money and power. And everybody, like I said, I remember something on the internet where it was a red hat, like, you know, the MAGA hat, kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And it basically said, instead of Make America Great Again, it said, don't let your president get your ass whipped. I need to get that.
I will walk around
with that shit.
Yeah, he can get away with saying that stuff because he's the president of the United States, but you can get your jaw rocked. Did you heard about that battle rapper? He's a very good battle rapper. He's a white boy, but he thinks that it's okay to say the N-word. So he said the N-word in a battle rap, and he got his jaw rocked. He got boom-eyed right and crossed his fucking face.
Well, even a little better. He knew he wasn't Eminem, so, you know, he thought that was the right thing to do. But sucks to be him. I mean, well, I don't consider Eminem white. Anyway, I think he's kind of clear. You know, he might be albino, too.
Albino. Yeah, he's albino. So what do you think about these Eminem and Lord Jamar beef? What do you think about that?
I don't know anything about it. I just got caught up with the whole Nick Cannon joint, you know, but they've been beefing for years, you know. You know, they screwed the same whore, so, and one of them married her, but had kids with her.
Them two are idiots.
Though. I don't know what's the deal with this. What the hell is a Lord Jamar?
Oh damn! You don't know about the guy that was on Brand Nubian, that old rap, that legendary rap group.
Wow, Brand Nubian! I haven't seen that in forever, dude. Yeah, like, so, I haven't heard them in years. They're still around. Like, yeah, what's going?
Yeah, Lord Jamar has been doing these great interviews with DJ Vlad with Brand Nubian, and the talking point that he's always talking about is how Eminem is a guest of the House of Hip Hop, and he has the mind of a colonizer. Like, these two, him. It's pissing Eminem off and is really getting into this skin. It's very interesting. Even DJ Vlad was like, yo, you know, when you told me that I was a guest in the House of Hip Hop, I was fine with it. What the hell is Eminem's problem? And Brand Nubian, the guy, he's like, oh, he's a colonizer. He has a mind of a colonizer. He just doesn't want to visit. He just want to conquer. And these two are going back and forth. Like, this shit is crazy. And Lord Jamar is like, yeah, he keeps mentioning my name because I'm getting under his skin. I'm like, God damn.
Well, the only thing I can say, this is what I say about this, and you could probably attest to it, and your listeners too. Anybody that's beef with Eminem, have you heard from them recently? Or have you heard from them lately? Like, let's go down the list. Let's go to Joe Budden. Let's go there. Mm-hmm. Okay. He has a little podcast and all that other stuff, but you don't hear much from him. Benzino. Remember him?
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's
probably flipping burgers at Mickey D's right now. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, like I said, these people don't seem to understand. They don't listen. Leave that crazy white boy alone. He's a little calmer now, you know. He's been through his stuff, you know, all the drugs and the relapse and all that other stuff. But, you know, chill. Leave him alone. Like I said, I'm into rap anyway, because, you know, the whole mumble rap and all these people dressing in women's clothes now and all that stuff. But anyway, that's people's thing, that's their thing, but it's not mine. But, you know, Eminem, you know, he's got longevity, and he's been around for a very long time, and he's probably going to be off for a very long time, you know, and, you know, he's got Dr. Dre and 50 Cent behind him, so... Yeah. Leave that crazy white boy alone. Like,
and
seriously.
That's another thing. Like, that's another thing we got to talk about. Like, it's not only that Eminem is a great lyricist, he got that goddamn machine behind him. Like, I was just listening. Yeah, I was just listening to his album. And track 15 called Little Engine, it was a ill Dr. Dre beat. I was like, come on, man. You can't have this lyrical white boy rapping on this hot Dr. Dre beat. Come on. That's just not fair.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you can have, you know, a C-grade rapper, and as long as the Dre beat's over it, it's going to be a good song. That's just how it is.
Yeah,
but, I mean, you know, that Dre's the man, you know. I mean, shit.
Yeah, listen, Dr. Dre is such a good producer. He actually produced a Daddy Yankee record called Somos de Cali. It's one of the illest shit reggaeton records I ever heard in my life, yo.
Oh, word?
Yeah, you need to Somos de Cali. Daddy Yankee, a reggaeton record. And it follows.
Did he have beef with Eminem, too? Because I didn't hear from him either.
You're hilarious, bro.
Maybe if I go back to New York in the Heights, he might be hanging out there now.
Yeah, well, I heard Daddy Yankee's gay, so he came out the closet. That's what I hear.
Yeah, it seems like everybody is, or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
so.
Well, you go, he look kind of sweet, so I kind of see that. You know.
Yeah, that's
now,
what
there's
got
nothing
Selena.
Wrong with that, but, you know, what is, it is what it is. Whatever, I don't give a fuck. Aaron Smith Campbell.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, man, that's crazy. But like I said, like, you know, Dre, you know, he does anything. He's like King Midas. Everything he does turns
to
gold. So, like, you know,
all
it's not just
shit.
Him and his lyrics. Who's been a damn good lyricist. And, you know, he's got 50 Cent, who was also a great rapper and all that stuff, too. And
yeah.
He's got the whole, you know, the power thing going on.
Oh, that.
So.
I love how the show ended. I just saw, and this spoiler alert, anybody who hasn't watched it, but they just said...
I don't tell me shit.
The latest episode, they have a great send-off to one of my favorite characters. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah,
I mean,
so,
like I said, you know, my mom was watching it, and she got me into it. It was kind of cool, because, you know, I was kind of, you know, checking that out, and... checking out Empire, and then Empire got kind of cool after that, after a while. So, like, I switched to Power. I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah,
eventually.
I got done after Empire, after the third season. But anyway, I want to talk about Eli Manning. We have to talk about the New York Giants. And why I think the New York Giants is full of shit. What did you say to Eli Manning's career? Because I find it's the most weirdest quarterback career I've ever seen in my life.
All right, cool. Basically, you and I pretty much grew up watching him. And his career, I feel like this. If the Giants would have basically kept that offensive line, and kept all those defensive players, even before the ones that before the retire, like Strahan and all the people, you know, they had a couple more rings. You know, I mean, like I said, it's not all his fault. And you know, the organization has this bad habit of, I think it's all New York teams, honestly, is that when it's like they have to win right now, and if they don't win right now, then you got to go. And that's just with everybody. It's not just the Giants, you know. But Eli, the man, Eli's a Hall of Famer. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, and the thing is, I have to talk about it because I think something is wrong with the culture of the New York Giants. Because when Eli Manning won the first Super Bowl, and I believe the greatest wide receiver, talent-wise, that we've ever had is Plaxico Burress. I don't like that wide receiver that we have with before. Who was very,
you don't like OBJ, son?
Hell no. Odell Beckham is a monster wide receiver, but the problem is it's just like his mentality. He's like mentally soft. He's like one of the softest dudes I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't really want to go into it, but you know, people are making fun of how, you know, how weird that dude is. I don't know. He's a freaking weirdo. Plaxico Burress. Let's talk about Plaxico Burress for a second, right? When Eli Manning won the first Super Bowl, the New York Giants went 10-1. We was unstoppable.
Right.
You know what happened? Plaxico Burress shot
himself in the ball.
Shot himself, right? So he shoots himself, and New York City made a real big thing about it because, you know, they want to be hard on gun laws. So what they did is he got arrested and he did some time for shooting himself, right? Which I think is stupid for motive. I think it's stupid for you to go to jail for shooting yourself. That's like insult to goddamn injury. So he goes
Well, you and me both know that he didn't go to jail for shooting himself. But
yeah,
that's another
this
story
is,
for another time.
No, it,
but
ain't,
go ahead,
it ain't for another time. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles. I really wanted to
All
bring
right, basically,
shit up.
You know,
yeah.
we, you know, he has,
Come
he
on,
has, he has an all-around tan. That's why he went to jail.
Yeah, he's black. Yeah.
Year-round tan.
Exactly.
Yeah, you want to put it like that. Yeah.
He got fired, and he went to
wasn't
jail.
It, what, wasn't a certain presidential candidate now mayor of the city during that time?
Oh, Mayor Michael Kuntberg? Yeah, Kuntberg.
Yeah, him.
Asshole.
Nasal boy.
Mr.
Yeah,
Stop
anyway.
And Frisk. Mr. Stop and Frisk.
Yeah.
Asshole. Yeah, but yeah, let's go into that because this is the problem with the New York Giants organization, right? So we go 10-1, and the minute that Plexico Burris goes down, we had a whole bunch of bad seasons. He just messed it up. Mm. You know, that was Eli. Yeah,
right,
that was downhill from there. Like, we had Plexico Burris. We had an offensive line. We had a running game. Eli Manning
Great
was
team.
Basically dominant that year. Mm-hmm. It's just when Plexico Burris went down, it was all downhill. Now,
oh yeah, and they never recovered.
Never. Yeah, we did have that run when we won the Super Bowl, but again, we never recovered.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I want to talk about the punter. You heard about the punter of the New York Giants, I can't think of his name, that constantly was beating the heck out of his wife?
Oh, yeah. He didn't have an all-year 10.
Yeah. So you had this white dude, punter. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. The punter is the most least athletic dude on the team.
Yeah.
So we have a New York Giants organization that is protecting a punter, but have no problem throwing a black dude, wide receiver, in jail. A wide receiver that's basically important enough for Eli Manning to win Super Bowls. So that basically lets you know the type of shit that the New York Giants is on.
Oh, well, yeah, straight bullshit. And the problem is that it comes from the NFL, it comes from the commissioner's office, and that's way before, you know, Kaepernick and all that, you know, stuff that was going on with him. But the problem is that the NFL is the most hypocritical league out of all the sports, I believe, in my opinion, because at the end of the day, you got rapists, you got killers and murderers. Ray Lewis murdered somebody, and he's in the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? He got away with it, but he's still in the Hall of Fame. But it's okay for him to be doing stuff with, you know, football and whatnot. But,
that's why Ray Lewis is talking the way he talks, because he know he's like, oh man, I gotta be nice.
Yeah.
I gotta be as nice and non-threatening as possible, because you know,
gotta be a good boy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's why he's talking like that, because you got dirt on him, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how all these corporations, they love to deal with athletes and black entertainers with dirt on them. Because if you have dirt on the entertainment and an athlete, you could basically snap your fingers and completely get rid of them at any time.
Oh, for sure. Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely, for sure. But, like I said, the NFL, I guess, I used to call it the No Frills League. That's pretty much what it is. I don't know if you remember back in the day, like past my, like in the 80s and 90s, that's when they had, you know, those, you know, off-brand cereals, and they had No Frills on it. You remember that?
Pathmark. Yeah.
Not really.
Go over to 125th Street in Lexington Avenue in that Pathmark to get that old No Frills cereal.
Mm-hmm. It tastes pretty much the same, you know. It just, like, had a little cardboard to it. because
It's nothing like a delicious Kellogg's sugar cardboard to get your day started. You know?
Oh, delicious.
Yeah, and let's keep talking about the New York Giants, because it was just something that recently happened that pissed me off. You heard about that New York Giants player that got kicked off the team because he used the word retarded?
I did not hear that. I'm here in PA, so I rarely get New York news unless I go to YouTube or something. But lay it on me. What's going on?
Yeah, so there's a black football player, can't think of his name. He calls one of his fans retarded on the internet, and, you know, he got to apologize. But he apologized, and then after he apologized, the New York Giants fired him. You know, the people upstairs said that he got to go. I don't know what's the deal with these Maras, man.
Well, the problem is that people are too sensitive now, and everything and any little thing they get mad about, even when it's not that serious. And that's the problem that lies with, you know, everything, you know. And this is on both sides of the spectrum, you know, left or right, you know. It's just, there's snowflakes on both sides. I mean, this is a gentleman that just has on his personal page. What does it have to do with his job? I mean, you know, I don't get that. It doesn't make any sense to me. Where somebody can just say whatever they want on the page, where you have, you know, a gentleman who has the highest, you know, office in the land, and he's ripping and spewing on Twitter every day, but nobody does nothing, says anything to him, and so I have a problem with what he has to say, you know. So, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's just an interesting what's going on out here. It's just very weird. So there's a report.
People getting soft. People are too soft. That's the problem. And I'm sorry. Like I said, if anybody has a problem, they have to say, you know, it is what it is, you know, like, you know. But my thing is this. Like, there are way more important things going on than calling somebody a retard. You know, like, I mean, well, what do you, let's break down the word retard. I mean, it comes from the word retarded, right? And
yes.
That's what they were called back in the, you know, maybe as early as 15, 20 years ago. Now all of a sudden it's a problem? Like, what the fuck? Like, really? Like, come on. You know, mentally challenged? No, you're a retard.
Yeah, well, you know what George Carlin said about political correctness? George Carlin basically said political correctness is fascism that's polite. That's what political correctness is.
Yeah, you can spot on with that. And like I said, you know, going back to this, you know, the Giants and this guy, I mean, like I said, you know, you back in the day, you would find a guy for that, or maybe suspend him a game or whatever, or you can tell him to get off, you know. Well, I guess he had Twitter now, but you don't have it back in the day. You didn't have Twitter or stuff that back in the day, but I would tell him, you know, don't stay off Twitter or something like that. But, you know, to let somebody go because of that, that's ridiculous. Like I said, you know, that's a little over the top. People need to stop being so damn sensitive. And as for before, you know, it's just like, you know, you can't call homosexuals the F word anymore, you know, like, yeah, I mean, it's derogatory and all that stuff, like, it's a fair way to them, but, you know, the N word is still very popular, and no one seems to have a problem with that.
Yeah, well, you know? I think that's on us. I think we need to start, like, when that white boy, that right rapper said that N-word and he got punched in the face, yeah, that rapper was doing the right thing. That's exactly what you do. You gotta give these motherfuckers the dragon uppercut. You need to fucking Ryu their ass.
Oh, punch man, dumps. Actually, he's talking about a street fight. I'm looking forward to this next month. They're gonna bring a...
the championship edition.
Yeah, Gil. Oh man,
I can't fuck with Street Fighter V, because if I play that shit online, I'd be getting my ass whooped.
Motherfuckers. Well, who do you use?
It doesn't. Listen, I don't like the fact that Ryu is a low tier character in that goddamn game. Yo, he sucks in that game.
I feel you. I mean, you know,
that turns it off.
Their own. I know that. I use Balrog, and every time I go online, people log out.
Yeah, because Balrog is the fucking cheap. Balrog is a beast in that
Balrog
game.
Can be cheap. I don't use him cheap. I can if I'm pissed off or if somebody do something stupid. But I get you on that. He can be a little cheap.
Yeah.
But they're about to bring Gil back, and Gil is, let's not even go there.
Gil is one of the most.
He can when he wants to be. Like
Gil
I said, I have a friend that uses
in
Gil,
Street Fighter
so, you know,
3.
But he doesn't use them like everybody else does.
Yeah,
people,
Gil
you know?
In Street Fighter 3. I have nightmares about that character, that goddamn resurrection. That shit is not fair. He was worse than Shinakuma,
yeah.
Bro. Yeah, but yeah, I'm really into Tekken. Tekken got this new character by the name of Leroy Smith, and T-Pain actually cosplay as them. So let me tell you what Leroy Smith is, right? Leroy Smith is a Wing Chun specialist that comes from Harlem. He has gray dreadlocks, a pimp cane, and he sends out a blue-nosed pit bull bully by the name of Sugar as an attack.
Sounds like a relative.
Yeah, that's the most blackest fucking character I've ever seen in my life. And his name, Leroy Smith. I was like, oh, God. And you know what's the funny?
Yeah.
He's one of the most overpowered fighting game characters I ever seen in fighting. He's not fair. He's cheap. Like, people are complaining about him online. And, you know, Harada, the creator of Tekken, he always has this thing that when he comes out with a black character, he always makes them overpowered, and he knows he does that because a lot of his audience, a lot of the people that play Tekken, they're actually black dudes. Like his favorite, you know, they do like these Tekken competitions, and it seems like his favorite players like really comes from, you know, African American. Like there's this kid by the name of Little Majin. He's actually very good. He's an American gamer. And he's the best king player in the goddamn whole world.
That's cool. Well, he knows his audience and more power to him. I'm like in like between like 5 games right now, so I get to check in a little bit.
Dude, I hoard video games. I own like 30 freaking video games and I can't even play them because I need to purchase a PS4 Pro because the, you know, if you like Resident Evil 2 is like
nice.
Oh my God, the remake!
Oh yeah, I dig it. But I want to add something out. That's on my list for sure.
Dude, you got to get that before you get Resident Evil 3 because they're coming out with that this year.
Oh yeah,
you have to play. You have to play Resident Evil 2. That shit, dude. Greatest survival horror I've ever seen.
Oh, for sure. I'm kind of mad at you, so you kind of left me alone with the Friday the 13th. You know, I'm dying here with these trolls, man.
Yeah, the Friday the 13th, man. Yeah. So.
But, yeah, man.
Off gaming for a second, because I want to, because we're going to be on here for like 3 hours talking about gaming. So, off gaming. Yeah, so I want to talk about this Byron Allen Supreme Court case that he has with Comcast. Have you heard about that?
Vaguely, but let me know what's going on with that. You know, fill me in a little bit.
So basically, Byron Allen sued Comcast for infringing on the Civil Rights Act of 1866. Now, the Civil Rights Act of 1866 was created right after the Civil War. See, they were supposed to give us 40 acres and a mule, but instead they gave us this law. And this law, there's sections of that law that's supposed to protect the African-American community. And Comcast actually infringed on that law when it came to Byron Allen. So they took it to federal court, and Byron Allen won the case. The feds was like, ah, we ain't. So Comcast went petty, and they took it to the Supreme Court. And guess who they have defending Comcast? The Justice Department of the United States of America.
Oh.
So, Donald Trump. Donald Trump basically sent his goddamn goons to try to shut down Byron Allen.
Well, he has his own problems. He should worry about that. But, okay.
Yeah, so it's actually very interesting. I'm 50-50 about it because You know, I'm on Byron Allen's side, but in hindsight, I think Comcast and Byron Allen are wasting their time.
Yeah, it's going to be in court for years. I mean, like, you know, you and I already know the deal was really going on there. And I feel him on that. And, you know, he is going for the right thing. But, you know, it's just going to, they're just going to drag it out. And in this current political climate and how things are going, I mean, you know, it's always been there, that idea and what really is, how things go within government and the justice system and how they treat, you know, African Americans. We really know the deal. We ain't got to go there. But, you know, I think I wouldn't say a waste of time, but it's going to drag out. And I don't know. That's really up to him if he wants to continue it, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. My thing is this. They're fighting over cable television, and in 20 years, cable television is going to be obsolete. So they're fighting for something that's going to be obsolete in 20 years. Like, nobody looks at cable television anymore because of YouTube.
No, everybody streams now.
Yeah, everybody streams. I'm streaming right now. I mean,
there you go.
Yeah, like YouTube and Netflix and is completely destroyed cable television. And the fact that Disney, one of the greatest content creators in American history, had to create Disney Plus, had to create a streaming service just to compete with Netflix, and Netflix wasn't even bothered by Disney as competition, that just lets you know the environment that's going on out here. Like, if I was Byron Allen, you know, if this Supreme Court case don't work out for him, I would create my own streaming service.
I mean, that's the thing to do. I mean, like you said, cable is, you know, going to be obsolete, you know, a couple of decades or maybe even sooner. Because, like I said, streaming is where it's at. It kind of reminds you of the cable wars back in the day, you know, with Time Warner and Comcast and all these other companies.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that,
those cable
going back
wars.
And forth and fighting for people. But now it's Netflix, and, you know, then it's Prime Video, you know. Amazon got into it.
Yeah,
and
you know,
they got the original series and all that stuff, like, too. So I guess, you know, those are the one and two now, Netflix and Amazon Prime. And then I guess Disney's kind of just trying to get in their coattails a little bit. But, Brian probably should be doing that and not worrying about, you know, these old stiffs and, you know, trying to get something from them, because, like I said, that's like trying to get blood out of a rock.
Yeah, I feel you. And another thing, right? What I was going to add to it, Byron Allen needs to team up with Tyler Perry, because people are complaining that Tyler Perry is filming shit in 7 days. Like, what the fuck, bro? Like,
what is that?
Dude. And, you know, there's some black feminist writers that's actually frustrated with him. You know why, right?
Why?
Because
he steals their dresses? What? I'm a deist here?
Stop. We know he wears a dress. No. Because
I'm thinking about that Boondocks episode, but go on.
Yeah, because he's writing stories for black women and he's not listening to black women's voices. So you're making a movie in 7 days and you're not, you can be giving black female directors the opportunity. You can give, you know, you can give black women script writers voices, but you're not. So, you know, certain black feminists on the internet is getting kind of mad at him. And here's the thing. Black men has been complaining about Tyler Perry for years and nobody listens to us. He was like, he's depicting us wrong, and black woman and everybody else is like, shut up. Leave Tyler Perry alone. Now we finding out he's filming shit in 7 days. He said, oh, I wrote all 13 scripts by myself. Like, why the hell are you doing that? That's stupid.
Why does he keep don't want to pay nobody?
You are a producer. You know?
like
why are you...
But anyway.
Say what you want about Harvey Creepstein, okay? Harvey Creepstein was a freaking visionary that had the common sense to offset opportunities to everybody else, even though he was a dusty dick fuckboy that looks like a sloppy Jabba the Hutt bastard.
Now he's trying to pretend he's too crippled to go to jail.
Oh, yeah, he doing that Bill Cosby shit. I'm laughing. He's like, I'm crippled.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm crippled.
That booty still gonna work, buddy. That mouth, too. But my thing with Tyler Perry is, like I said, you know, I remember when he started out over there at the Beacon Theater in Manhattan, you know, with his little plays and whatnot.
Yeah, I know about that. He had plays in Beacon Theater. Yeah, he went to, you know, he went to small theaters. Like, the guy is a businessman. And the reason why he's getting away with, you know, making movies in 7 days, because he's the only game in town. He builds something for him. He builds something, you know, he builds his own studio. Like, all the other guys who has more talent and have more access to more talented people than him, you know, like Oprah Winfrey and Will Smith and Magic Johnson, you know, all these other people, you got all of these moguls, and you mean to tell me that none of them have never built a studio? That's kind of weird.
Well, she got her own network. Does that pitch account for something?
Oh, please. Nobody watches the OWN network. The minute that she went to the OWN network.
Well, we don't. People probably don't, but somebody does.
Yeah,
White women.
White women don't watch it. That's why she had to sell it. White women don't watch that shit. He's like, listen, Oprah Winfrey, we only like you for
on
1 hour,
huh?
Okay? You know, you're like, supposed to be OWN for
the,
4 to
the
5.
Men channel, men and their evil penises. You know, Lifetime is like, you know, don't like dudes for some reason. You know, because every movie they do is like depicted like, you know, he's like a real shithead, like something's wrong with him. But I guess it's comfortable with lesbians or something.
Every time Oprah Winfrey comes out with these documentaries attacking black men, I'm going to call it the Demonic King of the Chocolate Patriarchy documentaries. That's what I'm going to call that shit from now on. Mm-hmm. Attack, destroy the evil black man, but protect the white fuckboys. Protect them.
Well, that's what she worked for. I mean, I ain't never been an Oprah fan. I mean, you know, she's fat. She's skinny. She's skinny. She's fat. I don't know what's going on with her. She can't get rid of that big ass head that she got, though. But anyway, I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. There's certain people, they're just how they are, you know. It's money changed people, because she came from nothing, and you know, she was born around for it, poor, and then she got what she came from, and you know, it's just that's a sad part that happens to some of our black people out there that become celebrities. You know, they make that money change them, and it's fucked up, it's wrong, but you know.
Yeah, well, the last thing I want to talk about with you, because I know the show's going to be over in a couple of minutes, right? Okay, so we have to talk about the fact that there's a new report that 50% of the homeless population in America is African American. What do you think about that?
I'm not surprised, because at the end of the day, we're the first talked about and the last to be taken care of, and that's the issue there. And you know, technically I am homeless, you know, but you know, I stay with grandparents, you know, for I don't know how long, but you know, I mean, I had to basically come that way up here because I couldn't find a place, and I did come from the shelter system, you know, at one point in time. And it sucks because, like, you know, the rents are going up and, you know, all the programs are drying up, and that's the issue that I have, you know, personally, you know, and it sucks.
Yeah.
And I really, like, you know, is this, New York is coming to a point where it's too expensive for people like you and I to live there, and that's the problem.
Yeah, there's a report.
A lot of people who work and have good jobs, and they still can't get a place.
Yeah, in this city. And another thing, in New York City is starting to become a city of empty, high-priced condominiums where rich people just come and visit for only 2 months. And then you have a, you know, a whole group of underclass of people that just can't afford nothing, like gentrification. That's the reason why everybody is, why our community is homeless like that, because of goddamn gentrification. Like, and here's the thing. Sure. Mayor Michael Bloomberg and President goddamn Trump are two of the guys that's responsible for this gentrification culture that we have.
Les douche.
I don't know, man. I don't know. So, thank you for calling, Aaron Smith. We got to...
My man. Anytime you need me to come in, anytime you call through, let me know.
Yeah,
but,
man.
You know, things have to get better before they get worse. That's
yeah.
all I can say.
Now, Aaron Smith is a stand-up comedian. He's been in the game for 5 years. He has a podcast called Aaron Smith Can't Lose. I want you to look out for his comedy that he has all across New York City. When's your next comedy show going to be, Aaron?
Well, I'm working on that. I'm probably, hopefully, next month. I'm talking to a couple of people. As you know, I'm trying to get a place back into the city. But, you know, everybody can check me out on IG, The Aaron Smith, Twitter, The Aaron Smith, and Facebook, Aaron L. Smith. And just, you know, keep posting on my stage and shows with Fats. And, you know, of course, I'll definitely tell you, so...
Yeah, that's no, and we got to talk, sure. We got to hang out because we got to talk shop because I got a couple of ideas. All right, thank you, Aaron Smith. Take care of yourself.
All right, buddy. Take care. Good night.
Okay. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jeffrey Frazier from the Black Wall Street Chronicles. Now, before I go, again, my live stream is at Saturday at 8 p.m., you can go to Pain308TV at yahoo.com. Pain308TV, yahoo.com. I'm bugging out. I'm tired. Pain308TV or YouTube.com. Pain308TV at YouTube.com. That is my live stream. My Instagram is BlackKage840. Again, my Instagram is BlackKage840. If you go to my bios, you can follow my Twitter, you can follow my Facebook page, and you can follow my Twitch account, okay? Thank you very much, and enjoy your day, enjoy your night. See you next week.